sighted the microphone for the green light to the speed trap. Ray Carino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Hear relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joel cuss each other down track. Barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Carino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Start jocking. Oh, get it going. Teens, queens, guys in blue jeans, everybody out there in Motormouth Radio Land, you're listening to Long Island's only automotive talk show with your host, Ray Guarino, co-host Wingman XO, and the guy on the bass, Joe D.
Hey, you've been hitting the coffee again?
Wow, that was like quite loquacious over there. I liked it.
Yeah, I know. I figured you would. Yeah. We are rocking to the tunes. Oh, we're going to send our web guy nuts today because he's not going to know who this is. This is a banjo that you turned me on to called Sir Lord Baltimore.
Yeah, back from the day. They were cool. They were totally cool. And I was like, you never heard these guys? What, are you kidding me?
1970. Yeah, it was kind of an obscure Brooklyn band. Look them up. You know what? Let's look up the phones, push this button, and say, hi, you're out with the Motormouths.
Hello? Yo?
Nothing.
You out there?
No, nothing. All right. Do you have any
levels? I don't know. Can you hear me? Because I can't hear me.
I can.
Oh, maybe. Okay, because I can't. I'm kind of muted over here.
Yeah, it was a little low. Let's try this again. Let's go back to the phones. We'll push the button and say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths.
Hi, it's that. Laura.
Laura.
Hey, Laura, how are you?
This is Dartboard.
I'm good. I just wanted to call real quick and say whoever did that video for the promo, props to him because it's hysterical.
We're glad you like it. That was our social media slash media slash computer slash just he knows more about this crap than we do guy.
Yeah, web guy. Well, that's right. I'm glad to hear that, Laura, because I said, this is great. You know, it was just so real, you know. It is what it is. It's slice of life.
Yeah, Dartboard's in the car right now slamming his hand against his head because I called. But anyway, I don't want to take up any time. I'm about to go on social media and start sharing it so you guys get more listeners.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, well, we always appreciate that, dear.
So excellent. Have a wonderful day, Ray. Have a wonderful day, Joe.
Thank you.
And a wonderful week.
Thanks Great. A lot, Laura. Talk to you soon.
Thanks,
bye.
Laura.
All right, bye-bye. And Dougie, yeah, listen, try not to smack things too hard in that car. I know your head's precious. Don't, you know, you don't want to dent
it. Well, it's not, no, you smack his head.
I know, so I mean, you don't want to dent it, but, you know, he probably won't do that with his hand. Maybe if he had that half-inch breaker bar, that might do some damage, but...
I think we just got a new one from Harbor Freight, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you never have enough tools. Like last night, well, I got to go find the 5.5 millimeter socket.
Oh,
heard that, yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We're flashing again.
Let's see if someone on the phones
are on fire.
Say, hi, you're out the Motormouths.
Hey, good morning. It's the Brock. How are you guys doing
What's
today?
What's up, Brock?
Not much. I just heard your opening intro with the music there, and it brought back a memory. Just a little nostalgia. Back in 1966, I used to play in a band, and I played up and through the 80s. But we won a New York City talent contest and got one of the warm-up bands at Palisades Amusement Park with Cousin Bruce Morrow.
Oh, cool.
The exalted Cousin Brucey.
And then during that time, right, it's also when Ice Cliff Speedway was open and National Speedway. Yeah, I remember those places.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Right, so just thinking back that, and then I figure I'm going to go hunt through some old pictures and pull up some old stuff, see what I can find.
Oh, very cool.
So
excellent.
Outside of that, not much is going on. I got a car problem. They got to go look out today. I'll throw it out to you and see what kind of ideas you come up with.
All right.
It's GMC, eight-cylinder. I forget what it is. Losing antifreeze. He said he's got white, milky substance in the radiator.
Schwing!
Well, that's a smoking gun right there. You know that.
Yep, yep. What do you guys come up with? Just throw it out there, people listening.
I'm thinking of a head gasket.
Yep, that's white, what I figured too. So he's going to be crying the blues with that. So
do we have any other information as far as that goes?
And you know what I want to tell him? NFW. Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do as a diagnostic? Because, you know, your first assumption could be right, but you still want to back it up with data. So how are you going to verify?
Well, I'll pull the plugs out. And then a good indicator is, number one, see if there's any fluid, antifreeze, any oil in the crankcase.
Okay.
Of course.
Second way is you see if there's any antifreeze coming out of the exhaust. And then you pull the plugs out, and that's a pretty good indicator because it's getting in the combustion chamber. You crank it a few times and usually get a spray of water out, or the tip of the plug is pure white.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
So this thing is like a James Bond mobile. It's blowing out big, wafting out a big cloud of smoke over there.
Well, he said it's smoking like a son of a gun. So,
okay. Yeah. Well, that's another indicator. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. There it is. So all the indicators are there. So that's going to be playtime today. And then another interesting one. A friend of mine bought, which I didn't know they did. Maybe you guys would know. Joe would probably know more. It's a 1996 Ford Thunderbird.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, what operating system should it have? One or two?
One or two what?
Is that like Windows
OBD1, OBD2.
96, it would have to be. It was about 99.9% be OBD2.
Sure.
Right, but it's an OBD1.
So it was like an early build?
Really?
It must be. That's the only thing I can figure. Mm-hmm. So he's got the check engine like flashing like crazy. So I had to pull up some of the old books there and pull up the old codes on that.
That's an OBD2 characteristic for a check engine like the flash. Also,
there's no ADL port. It's got the EEC port under the power booster.
Oh, you mean the diagnostic link. Yeah, the VIP. They used to call it the VIP connector.
But
or
even
kind of.
Even OBD1 cars had a ALDL.
No,
yeah,
Well, Ford used to have that funky connector underneath the someplace under the hood.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah,
so
it's either under the power booster or it's over on the other side on the passenger side.
Like, yeah, they just were over
there. This is the old type. It's not the universal type that OBD2 has. Mm-hmm. So you got a cool jumper there.
Well,
so
that would make that EEC4. I mean,
it's an EEC4.
It's an EEC4 system? Okay. Because usually anything OBD2 would be EEC5. And also, I do know that somewhere between 94 and like 95 and a half, let's say. I mean, GM did this too, where they had like the OBD1 connector, but they had OBD2 codes. Or sometimes they had dual connectors, you know, one someplace like off in the glove box or something. But what motor is that?
An ALDL and then a regular EEC4, two different ports.
Correct. What motor is in the thing?
It's got the 4.2, 4.3, the small V8.
Oh, okay, that would be a 5-liter. Yeah, okay. I'm just thinking, I'm looking at all data real quick.
This is a throwback. I haven't done this in years.
Yeah, I mean the flash and check engine light, that was an OBD2 requirement. So that is
right.
Far as
but when they went to get it smogged, they had to use the kazoo and the tailpipe.
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah, they do show a TSB about using the EEC4 type connector there for 96. Uh-huh. Now, I also do know that GM, for example, they did have some like carryover OBD1 vehicles, but they were usually trucks, big trucks, you know what I mean?
Mm.
So that's kind of interesting. But they
this is a real oddball.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, then as long as you got a scan tool that you could access the...
You'll have to dischronificate it and then see what you got.
I'll
just use the jumper. You know, use the jumper link and read the codes through the dash.
Yeah, you just blink the codes, yeah. See what that does.
Yeah, that's all. you know, the old days before, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
They get, you know what I found hunting around? My GM key. Remember they made a little key to jump the diagnostic board?
Yeah, a lot of guys had them on their keychains. I just kept the friggin' paperclip.
Right.
I just saw it sitting in my box. It's son of a gun.
I just filed my nails for me.
Right, funny how old stuff comes up and haunts you.
Oh, that stuff comes back and gets me all the time, right? Squaring the
good stuff.
Chronificator.
Well, Brock, good luck with all that diagnostic stuff, and yeah, hopefully you can get that all sorted out.
Well, as I say, here's the name of a good mechanic. Call me when it's fixed.
You got that right, yeah.
That's what's nice about retirement.
Exactly.
It's my 15th year. You believe that?
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So hopefully I get another 15 sewer goes. Anyway, go have fun, guys. Just want to touch base. I probably won't talk to you in about 2 weeks. We start with the Hot August Nights next week, so I'll be running around with all that crazy stuff.
Oh, good.
Ah, yes.
And then I'm working at the auction. I'm one of the drivers at the auction, so that'll be during the course of the weekend.
Oh, cool. Well, have a good time with that. It'll be a blast.
Yeah, wow. It should be a lot of fun.
Okay.
Fox in the Hen House.
All right.
Take it easy.
We'll talk to you soon.
All righty.
Bye.
You know, Brock mentioned it's been 15 years since he's been retired, which means it's 15 years that I've been here because I took his place.
That's right.
I was his replacement. And
he did that upon his retirement over there. Okay.
I got to mention, like Brock and Laura, you can call us at 516-572-7440. And don't forget to check us on social media. The website is motormouthradio.com. Go to Twitter, which is motormouthradio. And Joe's favorite, Instagram, which is real_motormouthradio. Follow us, like us, all that stuff. And I'll tell you something, there'll be a teaser for what's going to happen next week here, talking about replacements and stuff. After we take this phone call, we'll go back here, push the button,
like
and say
us, all that stuff, and I'll tell you something, there'll be a
and we'll say, hi, you're on the Motor Mouse, turn down your radio.
My radio's down. How you doing, guys?
All right.
Tom from the Oldsmobile Club.
Oh, Tom, yes. How's it going, Tom?
Hey, man.
Hey, everything's good. Hi, Ray. Hi, Joe.
Hey.
Tell us how that show worked out last week.
Okay. Well, first, thanks for having us on 2 weeks ago.
Sure, no problem.
Hopefully the promotion, you know, did a little something for us. It was nice to meet you guys face-to-face.
Oh, yes.
And last week at our show, I got to meet Christian face-to-face. He came out to the show.
Right, right.
So, yeah, so it all went pretty well. We finally got it off. Was a little late. I was hoping for... I was hoping we would get at least maybe 200 cars. We didn't quite get that, but we did get over 100, and we did have some families come out, and we had the blow up slide for the kids and some face painting, and we had some pretty nice cars. We had 100 plus. Yeah. There were some pretty interesting cars. Some really nice cars came out. I think you know, the history of that field. A lot of people didn't believe the field would be in good shape.
Yeah.
The field was actually in excellent shape. The guys that are taking care of it now, it's actually one of the guys from the Rinky Dinks racing team that hosts us there, is the guy that takes care of the field now, and he's doing a much better job. There's no bald spots. There's no mud spots. The rain from the night before actually perked the grass up. And everything was dried up. It actually kept the dust down. And the field was beautiful. So it was a nice day for the people that did show up.
That's good. He's obviously got some landscaping experience in his past.
Sure.
And that's the thing, Tom, with you guys. You've been rained out since May. So you guys were lucky.
Oh, good grief. It was terrible. Yeah. We just can't get a break. And then even this, the weather reports weren't good. It really,
I think that's what
might have
screwed you up, too.
Us,
yeah.
Yeah, you were lucky to get any kind of a decent day, any kind of a salvage, and now, you know what? You kept the string going, 42 years strong. Next year, you'll kick it off again, and hopefully May will be a nice...
Yeah, well, this was 43, so now next year is 44. So,
okay.
And we're a lot of years just on that field.
Right, that's right.
I don't even know that. From before I was in the club, they've been going to this field, so...
Excellent.
Yeah, so we managed to get it off a little late, but we got it off.
That's great.
The string is alive.
Yeah, that's great.
Very cool.
And you know, just wanted to say hello. Thank you guys again. And maybe next year you can broadcast from our show.
We'll
get a nice weekend.
Yeah,
if we can get a string and some tin cans long enough. Yeah, we would love to do that. Sure.
And Tom, I didn't forget
a balloon.
I'm going to get in touch with you still about this AC issue I was having. I've been really busy because we're going to be going away. So, but I will. I didn't forget. I'm going to be giving you a call soon.
I wasn't going to bring it up on the show, but okay. Yeah, I'll call you on the side. Yeah.
All right, Tom.
We'll get you fixed up.
All right. Thanks a lot, buddy.
All
All right,
guys. Have a nice day.
Take care.
Thanks, Tom. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. So that was Tom from the Long Island Olds Club that had their show last week. We had those guys in, like I said, 2 weeks ago. Go to motormouthradio.com. You can hear that show.
That was pretty good, yeah.
Or you can read some of the new articles we've got up there. There's a tire article up there that you might want to check out that just went up this week.
Ooh.
It's all about, how to check tires. And, there was summer tire tech. We had something up there before. This is a little, just a... an adjunct to it that clarifies a little more things. We're always putting new stuff up on the web, so you want to check that. You want to check motormouthradio.com regularly.
Our same guy that did Laura's video there.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's always somebody doing something, because I forget it. I'll just not do it right.
It's like
I still talk into the mouse.
No, it's like we
computer.
It's like we say on Thursday night, the Play in Traffic show, we got a guy.
We got a guy for this.
Our guy knows, and he loves making videos, just like we like taking phone calls, so we will say, hi, you're on with the Motormouths. And we get that again. That's not
was
good.
It something we said?
It might have been. I don't know.
Anyway. You got to let it ring a few times, because that button's really hard to push.
We're going to take a quick break here, Joe.
Right, so take a break. Yeah, we're going to take a break, which means don't try calling now. Give it about three, four minutes?
Yeah, 3 minutes. So
okay.
Be like Gary Justin, the bass player from Sir Lord Baltimore, John Garner, drummer and vocalist, and Louis Dambra, who is the guitar player. Dig this. I know you're going
to love this. That guy was friggin' insane, man.
I know you're going to love this. We'll be back in a minute. Dig on it.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
We'll be back with answers to your car questions. Give us a call at 516-572-7440. Oh, I should have said the motor mouth thing.
Joe, how do you hit those high notes, brother? I don't know.
I have flashbacks. My band used to play that song. Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, let's have a little taste of it here.
No, I can't. Not now.
Yeah.
Because now I'm losing my voice. So that was 40-odd years ago, bro.
Yeah.
I can't. I also. Oh, you mean the highs? No, I was doing the. I was doing that part because, I can't sing like that, dude.
Not anymore.
40 years ago? Yeah, maybe we had a shot.
One of the guys I could think of who could do it was in a band called Slade, and his name was Noddy Holder. He was the lead singer.
Slade, yeah.
Right? I mean, Noddy could have done it, and I don't know about many other people, though. That's for darn sure.
Yeah.
But so we were just talking to Kim because she popped ahead in the studio to say hi, and we were giving her a little bit of an update. We're going to have a very special... week next week.
Special!
People are going to love it. Why? I'm not going to be here.
There are some people who might take that as a positive thing. I don't know what the hell I'm going to do with myself.
Oh, you're going to be beside yourself.
I'm getting cloned.
Yeah, maybe. Oh. There'll be 2 years. No, but the thing is, we could run a replay, we could do this, we could do that, but no, we said, we want to make it, we like to make it real here on Motormouth Radio. Keep it real.
Yes.
So I cast...
So real!
Cast the hook, and I got a bite, and we do have a replacement host for the show.
Yes.
None other than the Swizzle Dizzle himself, CC Swizzle, Mr. Christian Switzer, will be in to do the honors next week with you as his second.
Will I be his co-host or will be my... Oh, no, we'll be each other's co-host.
Well, yeah, co-host, it goes both ways, but...
It's that whole co thing, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like codependency.
Pretty, right.
Co-pilot.
Right.
Good one.
Yeah, yeah.
Copper squat. Anyway.
So yes. that's...
So, me, Swizz and I. Oh, that's, God.
It's going to be something. I mean, there's probably going to be some more really good clips out of that show, because I'm sure it's just going to be a laugh fest.
There's, yeah, I don't know. Like, the guy walks in the room, I crack up.
Yeah, you know,
and there's also some car-related crap going on, too.
If you go back to the early iterations of this show, when we had Mikey T, it was Chris, Mikey T, and I.
Right.
Mikey T said, Chris is our human laugh track. That's how he certainly is,
yeah.
And he was right. So, let's see if we have a laugh track on the phone. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths. Hi, caller, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yo.
Hello, Professor Ray. Joey D, how are you guys doing? This is Howie.
It's the big man! What's up, Howie?
It's been a while. I miss you guys. I'm sorry I didn't call in.
Yeah, I know. You've been busy. It's okay. I'm not going to advertise nothing.
You could say that probably three times over.
You've been busy.
True.
You've been busy.
You've been busy. It's three-point mode. Yeah. So what's going on? So how you doing?
I'm doing okay, man. We're on I wanted to give you a call to first say hello to tell you that we're going on a caddy cruise out to Cutchoff. We're at the Long Island Educational Center here.
Okay.
And right on the water. This is a beautiful facility. The local three electrician guys use it here.
Ah,
and,
okay.
We're on a cruise, huh?
Let's hear it for a local. Yeah, okay. Good, good.
Yeah, and we're on a Cadillac cruise with a dozen caddies, and I took my black caddy out, which is a 90 Cadillac Coupe de Ville.
Yes. Are you using the parachute, or are you using the anchor? For the brakes.
Am I using what?
For the brakes.
I know there was some brake concerns there. Are you using the parachute, the tail hook, or you got the anchor? You're going to have Judy throw out the anchor out the window.
Well, yeah, we're using high horsepower.
Right.
You know, and so we're just taking a cruise out to Eastern Long Island in Cutchoff, and we're having a great time.
Oh, good, good, good. That's excellent.
So what else is new? Anything?
Flatulence,
anything,
I'm sorry, yeah.
Well, you know, we went off the dust off, which happened to be a little bit rainy. You know, we had on July 22nd from May 6th, and that worked out to be a success. You know, there was a little more than half the cars that are usually there.
Well, I guess you're not listening, because just before you, Tom called in to give us the recap for the show.
He did.
Yes,
great.
He did. Yeah. So we got all that news already. We're kind of clear on that. So, yeah, we're happy they got to pull it off, and we're looking forward to next year.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're having a beautiful weekend, and we want to enjoy it and have happy motoring and cruising and,
yes,
you know,
we do.
Pedal to the metal and green light.
All right, Howie. Will you enjoy being out in Cutchogue? Have a pina colada or something? And
Don't put the pedal to the metal in the caddy. Put it to that nice plush carpet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe the floor mat.
Keep in touch. I'll give you a call later. Be well.
All right, Howie. Thanks.
Take care.
So long.
All right.
That's our correspondent, Howie, having fun. Joe, I wanted to talk about a little bit of a service thing I had to do this week that is going to lead me to buy a new tool.
Oh. You buying tools? Oh, that never happens,
that's
folks.
That's kind of funny,
here,
right?
He comes out of Eclipse with the Blood Moon. Okay, Ray's going to buy a tool.
Right.
No, I don't think so.
No, I got to buy a power probe because I was asked to diagnose Mike from the shop, his motorhome. He had no brake lights.
Mm.
I'll make this quick. I spent a couple hours on Thursday with Mike Jr. looking at this thing. We had taillight, directional, but no brake. So obviously, stuff was getting down the wires to those sockets, but just not one signal. So it was a diagnostic issue.
Right.
And it's a big motorhome. We had no diagnostic direction.
So pretty much like you got on one side of the truck and then Mike got on the other side of the truck and you called each other.
Pretty much.
Yeah, you know, so, okay.
It was like a lot of hand signals, you know.
Right,
so
flag waving.
After diagnosing, talking to Freightliner, and they telling us really...
Well, we don't know.
Yeah, it is air brakes, which is something I really hadn't worked on before.
Right.
A lot of the Thursday night guys know air brakes. And they were giving me stuff. They tell me there's diode packs and whatever. I said, okay, that makes sense. But I had my... when I got home the other night, I was telling my wife about it, and she goes, oh, did you ask John? I'm like, John? She goes, yeah. Well, one of my niece's husband, John, he works in the one of the fire districts here on the island, and he is a tech, and he has a big shop set up at the district, and he has a truck, because he's a mobile tech for the fire trucks. I said, right, he works on trucks. So I gave him a call. He says, listen, I'll come take a look at it with you. How about Saturday morning? Great. Well, we got there, And this is the diagnostic. Within less than an hour, this truck was fixed.
Okay.
I had diagnosed it down to a connector, and what we did is with the power probe, we induced the voltage, which is what you could do with the probe. That's one of the great things about it, which sends the electrons down the wires, and wouldn't you know it, we had brake lights. So I said, okay, from here back, this works. From here forward is where the problem is. Now we isolated it.
Jump a lot, yeah. Basically, the power probe is a very well-controlled, educated jumper wire.
Right, right.
You know, it's either ground the power at the flip of a switch. You know what I mean? Some of the cooler ones have things like adjustable voltages or multimeters on them and whatnot. Yeah. They do make things a lot easier.
Yeah. But in a nutshell, what we did was, once we did that, we were at a weather pack. Everything's weather pack connectors. We probed one side with a nice little hook tool and realized, okay, we have 13.8 volts on this side coming in, but on the other side coming out, we had 4.
Ooh.
So there was a humongous voltage drop or...
Yeah, so some of them electrons was taking a little unauthorized side trip over there.
Or just getting stuck like at the wall, like it's like, you know, when you watch Animal House and the band went down
stop,
the end.
Stop, get out of my head. You did it, you stopped.
The marching band
out of my head. Yeah.
The wall. So what we did is we said, hey, we got to get this thing on the road. He's got to take this thing away for the auction. Cut out the weather pack connector, took the wires, spliced them with waterproof butt connectors that I crimped nicely, and voila, we had brake lights, everything. So... on my list is a power probe kit, and I'm going to look to see if I can get someone from Power Probe on the show as a guest.
They are a very cool company. They've got a lot of versions of power probes out there now that do all kinds of cool stuff. Power probes are definitely, as long as you understand what you're doing there, you're basically taking a jumper wire. And you're sending, you know, they just make it really easy to send power or ground into any pin that where you jam that sharp little pin there. And if you don't know where that is, I've seen guys blow all kinds of stuff up, computers, solenoid packs.
Yeah, you can also induce a ground.
Right, yeah.
So you could use this thing to tickle a relay. You could use it to... you could just do a hell of a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you use it all the time.
I use it quite a bit. I finally broke down after years because I had... well, you've seen my pocket full of jumper wires. I always have, like, alligator clips, different length of wires, you know, like, thing, you know, sharp objects, which, you know, I have to sneak out of the... out of the home over there. So, but the power probe just make things a lot easier, you know?
Right.
It's just that, like, any other... the tool, you have to understand the ability, the potential for damage.
Yeah.
So once you get the hang of that,
I was watching a video last night. They even have a cool little thing. It's a trigger lock because you have a button where you can induce voltage or ground. But they have a piece you put over it, and you can just slide it, and it just keeps it on.
Oh, so it's an assault power probe.
So in case you have to walk, you know, I mean, they give you a 20-foot lead and a 20-foot extension, but this way, in case you have to, you can't be inside seeing if the thing is actuating
or not.
Your
children are not there or nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. Or the guys in the shop, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Whoever, yeah.
Which sometimes is like my children, yeah.
Right. So that was my repair thing for the week. It was a big home run, and it was thanks to John because he had the right tool.
Bang, zoom.
Yeah, we were right there. I was right there. I just couldn't make the final, you know, because, again, I didn't know if there was something else in line, and I feel lost without a schematic or a diagram or even a parts locator.
Right,
you're lost. You know.
Yeah, I mean, you emailed me what you had there, and I was like,
right,
yeah, okay. This kind of tells me, like, out of like the 15 questions I had, it answered like 2.
That diagram that I sent you, when I looked at it, I said, this doesn't tell me anything. This just shows me where Freightliner had all of their all their connectors.
Now, let's see who answers the questions over here.
Yeah. So let's do this. Let's go back
push to the button.
Let's go back to the phones. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe not, because maybe we will. And we'll see. We'll say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hello.
Hello.
John Day here.
Hey, John, how are you?
What's happening, man?
Hey, from Canada. Well, I was just doing the laundry, and I had the show on. I said, gee, I haven't got anybody to talk to, so I figured to give you a call.
That's how we get our best callers, John.
Exactly. You can always talk to us. You might not want to hear what we say, but...
Anyways.
Bring it on. So what's going on up there?
I've taken on some new stuff, which is all in the bio industry now. So,
oh, okay.
I find it quite interesting, the goods and the bad. So I'm going to be doing a lot of film strength and shearing tests and dirt tests on the product this week. So I'm going to have some fun playing around with a friction machine and dirt. Yeah. And
is that 3-ball friction thing?
No, this one here, that's I use It's a motor, like a washing machine motor or a fan motor, and drives a pulley which drives a bearing race in a bath of oil.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a cantilever with a roller bearing and a little handheld vise that you slide on. And then I apply weight to it. So each one weight equals approximately 40 pounds per square inch.
Right, right.
So I can get up to about 180,000 PSI.
Okay. Yeah, so you're looking at the frictional, the breakdown of the fluid in that small interface between the bearing and the race.
Exactly. It's for film strength and shearing, but what I like about it is I can introduce metal filing, sand, turpentine, anything I need that would be in an industry that I can contaminate their oils, plus getting the heat viscosity breakdown and shearing quality. So it really helps a little bit in the customer's environment.
Sure, sure. No, that's the kind of testing you need to do in that world. That's cool stuff.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Just be like, hey, let's throw this in there. Let's see what happens.
Well, there's no gimmicks or anything. It's just weight and a couple of points of pressure, and away you go, you know?
Right, right, right.
So it's true to its form there. Until you get it into guys' hands, which I've been doing, is giving it to guys that work in the industry, so I get a hands-on analysis from them from their daily work.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the guys in the field will always find a better way to break it than... Oh, yeah, definitely.
I know, it's funny, you know.
All the time.
A guy with a piece of equipment, and it's only going to lift one ton, but you go back there on a Friday and a Monday, and you know they're lifting 2 tons with it. No, John, we're not overloading.
Yeah, no. No, that bent arm doesn't mean a thing. No, we got it that way.
Well, I abuse a lot of equipment, too, so.
You know, when I worked at Levitt, and one of the things we had was a test lab, and our good friend Pirate Paul worked in that lab, and they had to do a lot of destructive testing.
Yeah, love it.
And with the electrical stuff, I used to come in from the engineering side with our Hughes Corporation, not Rock the Boat. We weren't playing that. We weren't playing disco songs. I had an actual infrared camera, so I would look at the stuff with the IR.
Nice.
And kind of, yeah, Joe's taking out his FLIR. He got one. Nice.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Love this for air conditioning.
Wow. Yeah, I wish I get away from electronics. I change batteries and a flashlight, and that's about it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the thing. You know, it was an electric manufacturing company, so we had to do all that stuff. But we would look at the hot spots, and we wanted to see trends and patterns and, you know, to diagnose pattern failures and redesign a product. And really, it was just so that stuff didn't ignite in people's walls. You know, so, but any kind of that destructive testing is cool because you have to test something
until it blows up
to destruction. Yeah,
yeah, I've had companies say, well, we're your Rycon One Oil stuff. Will it help our equipment? And the unit is only good for so much, and then they want to double rather than upgrading the equipment. And they said, can you guarantee that? And I said, no, we're doing a destructive test. Yes.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, cool. Your car show guys, man, we're having trouble up here up in Canada, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tuesday, Wednesday, it's just raining or so.
Right.
That stinks.
Yeah, it's tough. We've had a weird season. Hey, happened.
We had a stretch of some really beautiful weather, and now we're going to pay for it for the next week
or so. It's nice now. I mean, now it's beautiful.
It's
good. But hey, that's what happens. You know, you can't control the weather. It's like,
well,
you said,
charities hurt that way, too, though.
Yeah, that's right. And then hopefully there's a rain date they can redo the show. And
anyways, I got to catch up on your other episode for the Astro Van ECM because, you know, I got a 98 all-wheel drive.
Right.
That I'm keeping running, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to see what you got interesting on there.
Yeah, I mean, basically it was just a quick recounting. I mean, I wanted to do a, you know, we've been talking about, like, doing either videos or, like, you know, still picture case studies and stuff, but... I mean, I come across, Ray and I both come across some really cool stuff. The only thing is like, we're working.
Yeah, you
so
need,
like,
you need
you know,
a set
have
of
to,
hands.
You have to have, like, one of those, like, $6 million man bionic eyes that you could just, like, take a snapshot and then... And
or third person. You know,
yeah.
We need somebody to sit there and
nobody,
film.
Nobody wants to come
to me. Problem, I took my van over to the dealer.
Right.
And I asked him to check out the shutter wheel.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what I was talking about.
Nah.
Well, you're gonna have to be a little bit more specific with me too there. Shutter wheel?
Yeah.
As in?
Ignition?
Yeah, right in the distributor cap.
The optical sensor, yeah. That's
right. Because it's held on with a split rivet.
Right.
And they come loose. I did not know that, but I got to I found a really great mechanic, and he knows all that. So
94? What?
90? The dealers don't know the old stuff.
What year is that van, John?
98.
Okay.
98. So that's actually a cam sensor.
4.3. So.
Yeah, yeah. Four Astro's only kid. It's got what we call the crib, the distributor cap.
Yeah,
in other words, the wires come out the side.
Looks
you know,
like a crib.
Bank two goes to the one side, bank one goes to the other side. It's not the usual firing order type cap. Yeah, that. Yeah, those go bad. That shift goes bad. That whole distributor is made out of friggin' plastic.
Yeah,
we used to call it the wonder material back then because it's like, hey, this distributor ain't metal. Yeah, I know, big deal.
Yeah. But anyways, guys, I should let you get on because I know there's other guys who want to get on there. It was great talking to you, and we'll keep listening.
Okay, John, cool, thanks a lot.
Take care.
Take care.
So long. Bye. That was John Day from Canada, Pathfinder Lubricants. We're going to take another break.
Did you say Canada?
Yes. Lou has indoctrinated us into saying it that way. We have to do
that. Oh, it's a thing. Okay, right.
And also, Wednesdays at 4, tune into Secrets of Success. Host Bill Horan helps you uncover hidden talent to maximize individual success. We are going to take some success with the Master of Heartache. I think this was one of Joe's high school dating songs. So fire up that bass again, Joe, because you're not off the hook yet.
Actually, it was Hellhound. But
we're saving that for our out song. So we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. Keep it where you got it. Groove on this, guys and gals.
This is hi-fi, okay? High fidelity. You know what that means? That means this is the highest quality fidelity. Hi-fi. Those are two very important things to have in the stereo system.
Join me, Kim Tracy, on High Fidelity for a mix of music with a focus on newer music and lesser-known artists every Thursday at 2 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College 90.3 WHPC and streaming with the iHeartRadio and TuneIn apps.
Your car not running right? Let the Motor Mounts help you out at 516-572-7440.
Every sound, every note, including the bass, on this track is played by a monkey.
American Hit Radio, Wednesdays and Fridays at 5 p.m. on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
You're killing me to death.
John Garner on drums and vocals.
Yeah, that I got that CD.
Yeah.
out in the toolbox.
Yeah.
I was getting played on the way home.
How do you not like this? You know, that's good old American Brooklyn rock and roll from 1970. You got to love it. Yeah, Sir Lord Baltimore. Try and find it, because I'm trying to find a vinyl, and I haven't done it. It's just not existent.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they made like three of them. I mean, but
I bootlegged this.
Yeah.
You know, so, hey, what are you going to do?
But that's the thing. There's always a gifted bunch of kids out there someplace. Sometimes they get recognized, sometimes they don't.
That's right.
That's like, who's that? There's that other bunch of kids that sound, the singer sounds like, holy crap, it's Led Zeppelin Generation.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're out there.
Right.
You just gotta keep listening. Can't that's always right. keep playing the same old songs again. You know, going with the past was better mentality. By the way, speaking of the, you know, back in the day, Bronc, I just looked up in all data that T-Bird, and it's got an OBD2 connector.
Okay.
So if it's got one under the hood, either it ain't a 96, or maybe that's the one for the ABS.
Yeah, right. Well,
but I just figured I'd throw that in there just in case, you know? Because here at Motor Mouth Radio, I do research the crap. When people ask me a question and I don't know the answer off the top of my head, which, there's plenty of those, I do research the living crap out of it.
Yes, you
ask Ray. He gets these obsessive emails at like, 3 in the morning?
Yeah, whatever.
You know, and so
the computer
if you got questions, bring them on.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, one other thing I want to mention, we got a future guest coming on at the shop. It's been kind of quiet that Rustang is in a state of metamorphosis.
The
master came in, but Mike found the booster was very expensive through the repro places, and I did some research. There's a guy I had on my radar from a few years ago called Booster Dewey.
Oh, yeah.
Out in Oregon. I was going to send him the booster for my Pontiac, because I am going to put that back in the car.
Terrible thing would happen to Booster Louie.
Yeah, I know, Louie. And, yeah. And,
So, yeah, we're left with Louie there.
And Screwy, you know. So, anyway, I did get in touch with them. There's a guy named Steve who took the company over from Dewey, but he's still in the mix. He's still around. And what I did is I boxed up and mailed out the booster from the Mustang and from the Pontiac for my car.
Yes.
They're hitting Oregon. They're coming back, and then I'll be able to reinstall. So, like I said, next week I won't be here because I'll be traveling on a vacation with my wife.
Yes, but exploring the wilds of our great country there.
Yeah, and then the booster will be out, but the week that I'm out, it'll probably come back in, and then when I come back, I got something to look forward to.
Well, at least you won't be using that car for your vacation there.
Oh, hell no, no. Thank God.
Well, it's either that or, like, basically you could do what we used to do with Florida. You know, it's like aim south, punch it till it gets warm.
Yeah. You
know, who needs breaks?
And we don't leave New York, yeah, because it's been freaking frying. But anyway, we're going to have, I told Steve we'd like to have him on the show and talk about what they do, because they are a booster rebuilder, and there's been brake rebuilders everywhere. Plenty of people do calipers, wheel cylinders, and masters, but not too many people do boosters.
Boosters are a little bit interesting with, you know, the imbalance between the vacuum and the atmospheric pressure and the, you know, I've had cars that, like, idle like absolute crap. You would sit there and you would, you know, adjust the carburetor screws or whatever. You had this thing idling like frigging glass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and drop it into gear and the thing starts going rumpity rumpity and it gets all stupid on you. And then you hear that hiss.
Oh, yeah.
And now you just made a vacuum leak. So all your work, especially if it's an automatic, you know, particularly if it's an automatic car, is out the window until you fix the booster.
Right.
It's either that or you make the guy, you know, get one of those, like, leg lift machines there.
Yeah.
Just pop the vacuum line off, but that's right. Cheap.
Kind of like what I'm using now.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully in the future we'll talk to Steve, and we'll get them. We'll talk all about the science of... And I found out from talking to him, I told him we have a lot of friends in... Well, not a lot. We have some friends in Oregon now. Scotty Gosson's out there. And, of course, I said, you know, we're friends with Mark Warman from Graveyard Cars. He goes, oh, I've been rebuilding his stuff since he was just Welby's Collision, since before he was Graveyard Cars. So I said, okay. I said, yeah, we've had Mark on the show a few times. We're, you know, so I know we're on the right track.
He still talks to us.
And he still talks to us. But now, and you know that the level of detail, you've seen his show, you know what he expects for the products that he purchases for the restorations he does, he's using Booster Dewey. What does that tell you?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, if you pass Mark's test, I mean, that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's tough. He's a tough room.
We're getting our stuff back. You know, just semi-gloss black. That's it. No, screw that. We just let it blend.
Yeah, yeah. As long as it stops the frigging car, who cares, right?
Right.
You know, exactly. And, you know, let's face it, right? You're not one of these people, you know, these crap. That engine bay. I am very impressed by the engine bay.
Oh, thank you, Joe.
You know what I mean? The way
you like the black.
Yeah, but you know what? That's what I mean about it. It's like, screw you. Here's the car. It works really good.
Yeah.
And I didn't have to worry about, you know, the valve cover values and peaks, you know, complementing the block color.
Yeah, right.
Or, like, you know, does this go with my eyes?
Yeah, exactly.
Does this match my shoe? Screw you, it's black, okay?
I got to tell you, last week, Kevin and I were at the East Rockaway Cruise Night, very light because it was the Syracuse Nationals, and there was this 68 Camaro that rolls in, white. Not always a big fan of white cars, but it was like a, and it wasn't like a bright, glossy white. It was almost like a muted kind of white. It was kind of tricky looking. And he had a black hockey stick stripe
hockey
on
stick.
It. Yeah. No engine call out. Black bumpers that were tucked in and modified to fit tight. The aftermarket kind of road race wheels with wide tires, four-wheel discs. I'm like, ooh, this car was built. This is pro-built.
No joke.
I look under the hood. I expect to see an LS, but I didn't. It was a regular old style small block with fuel injection. Right. And I talked to the guy. He walked over and he's looking at my car.
Right.
So I walk over and I said to him, I said, excuse me, that's your Camaro? Yeah. I said, how do you like your brakes? He goes, what do you mean? Well, I said, I see you got four-wheel disc and you got a Wilwood Master without a power booster. He goes, yeah, well, they work good. He goes, they gave me the choice of having, like, street brakes or race car brakes. And I said, well, if you see, I got the same setup over here, except not with four-wheel disc. I still kept the drums in the rear. He's like, yeah, well, how do you like yours? I'm like, I'm putting a booster back in the car. He goes, oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Like, so why he didn't say that in the first place, I don't know. But anyway, this guy actually had owned a body shop. He did all the body work himself on the car and the paint, and it is gorgeous. He says, it's the car I always wanted. I said, well, man, you got it. It is just so sharp. He also has the same transmission I have, the Tremec TKO 5-speed.
Okay.
He says, how do you like yours? I'm like, yeah, I love it over 70, because that's when I can put it in fifth. He says, yeah, it is. It does incite tickets. I'm like, yeah, because the car just wants to go from there, you know? So what a beautiful car. And, you know, now we might have made a listener. I gave him a card, and, you know, yeah, John maybe. Was his name. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll tune in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, it goes to show you. I mean, we had this discussion a couple times because my favorite brakes, although they were factory, was my 71 Camaro.
Right.
That had factory non-power disc drum brakes, and I loved them. That's like my favorite brake pedal ever because, yeah, you had to work it a little bit, you know, but you didn't have to, no, you didn't tap the thing and go through the windshield.
Right.
Now, the other way, I guess, I was looking at that though is that was factory tuned.
Yes,
you know, with the pedal ratio and the size of the
and the proportioning valve. You know,
yeah.
I did all the math. I did the pedal ratio because it's different between a manual and a power brake booster. You need more mechanical advantage for a non-power.
Right.
So I have that dead nuts on. That was fine. And the proportioning valve is adjustable.
Right.
You
know? Yeah.
So you can, but still, it's firm. You know. So I'm afraid, and I have no problem stopping the car now that I'm used to it. I'm just afraid that if that one situation happens where a kid runs out in front of me on a side street, or if a car just decides to stop, will I be able to really stop that fast? And I haven't tested it, thank God.
I
don't want to.
Thank God when you say something like that.
And that's it. I'm afraid. That's the situation I'm afraid of.
Yeah, which comes to thing. You make a good point there because if you notice that a lot of it's mostly in luxury cars, or it started out in luxury cars, is that they have the brake assist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Cadillac and had it in the Escalade and Lexus. And I mean, there's a number of cars which actually add, you know, Mercedes. As far as that goes, it does make a valid point to add more pressure. But basically, if you're standing on the thing hard enough, I mean, the way I think about it is if you're standing on the thing hard enough and you've got enough surface area, you know, good work, you know, good hydraulics, grabbing the disc, grabbing the drums, whatever, you're going to stop what you're going to stop.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because once you go into quote-unquote lockup, which if you have good tires,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's well, let's face it. The point of friction is between the tire and the road. It's not the brake. It's not really the brake that stops you. It's the friction of the tire on the road is what actually literally stops the
Correct,
car.
Yeah, and it just grabs, you know, the rotor just kind of tries to turn it.
Right.
Yeah, so, and I like vacuum as opposed to HydroBoost because...
Yeah, me too.
You know, that HydroBoost, I see it in too many trucks. Acting up, and basically everything that you're going to find is going to be a hot an offshoot of HydroBoost.
And if it goes out, you lose your power steering, too.
Yeah, exactly. So you could have stronger feet and arms.
Right. All right, let's take our last break. Joe, this is the song you've been waiting for.
Oh, boy.
It is. I mean, I got to let it go to the vocal because you got to hear it again. John Garner. It's such an inventive song. I mean, who the hell would think to sing about a hellhound and then refer it to his female friends that way? So,
Minions of Hellhound.
Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Joe D, 516-572-7440. Catch us after this break. A little bit more Sir Lord Baltimore and Hellhound. Catch it.
Saturday Night Fever, Polyester Suits, The Brady Bunch, Bell Bottom Jeans, and the music of the 70s.
Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me.
Join me,
Ron Stevens on the radio, Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. for 2 hours of the decade of Elton John, the Eagles, and disco. The Super 70s, the 70s at 7, Saturday mornings on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Oh my, oh my, oh my. Let me tell you about this fine show we have here at the station called Motormouth Radio. It is a car show hosted by Ray Guarino and Joe D. But you know what? It's not just cars. Sometimes talk about other things, and even when they're just talking about cars, it's about the love of cars. It's about the feeling you get. You know, they open up a hood and they say, damn, I want to redo this engine. Not everyone says that. These guys do. And like I always say also, you know, you watch those cooking shows. You don't cook. You can listen to these guys not know anything about a car. So please listen to Motormouth Radio every Sunday, 12 noon, right here on WHPC. And if you don't listen, that's your fault. You'll go through the rest of the day saying, damn it, I didn't listen. I should have listened. Sort of like Motormouth Radio. You don't have to like cars to listen to them. It helps if you do. But you don't have to. Thank you.
I don't know what he's saying half the time, but he rocks, man. John Bonham, really.
That just like stomps donkey, man.
That doesn't need anything. I tell you something. Oh, man, this is. I got to take that with me on a trip. If I make my wife jump out of the car, she'll be in the back seat or something. She'll be doing, I don't know what the hell she'll be doing.
You better give her some nice, like, noise-canceling headphones. And
Dramamine.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Some sleeping pills.
Borrow the RV so that way she's in another zip code or something.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. Okay, now you got me all wound up for the rest of the day.
Oh, that was my mission. So listen, you had an interesting service slant this week, too, at over
service,
at the UD, right?
I don't know if you, well, I mean, I was over at the my favorite shop, or I'm basically they're my favorite customers because they're always calling me, and they had this 89 Camaro there that it used to be an IROC from what I can tell. And it's like, you must get this car out of here. It's been here. It's been too long. It's too long sitting, and it doesn't crank.
Mm.
And one time it cranked, but it doesn't start. But no, it doesn't crank. So I says, okay, cranking, no problem. I get in the car, and the first thing I noticed was that it had anti-theft. Now, those of us who remember GM cars from back in the day, they had that little chip in the key. We used to call it the computer chip, the diode, the little black spot, whatever. It's nothing but a stinking resistor. Anyway, long story short, you know, that system, if it detects a problem of any type in the interruption of the signal between the key and the anti-theft module, it kicks the starter out, and it also kicks out the injector pulse, too. The ECM says, oh, no, just in case somebody's smart enough to jump the starter.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I realized, I said, did the former owner realize that you're not supposed to tie these wires together? You know, it's like, that's why there's a resistance between. So we fixed that piece of tape for time being until I could straighten out the harness just to get the car started. And then the real problem shows up, which basically is that the car runs for about maybe 10 minutes and it craps out.
Right.
So, now, you got to picture this. I am in the back of the... I'm in the back of the lot, all right? I'm surrounded by other cars. I can barely get the door open, so I can't even get my fat little butt into the car back and forth on a regular basis. Not to mention, the hood shocks don't work. So we got vice grips holding that up because, you want my golf club? And I said, that just hits me in the head when it falls over. So, and then I'm sitting there, and now, when it doesn't run, it doesn't set any codes.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? At least that related to that, because there was other stuff disconnected, because somebody obviously was chopping away at this thing. And I was like, okay, let's put the spark tester on there. And sure, we got spark every time. No problem. As a matter of fact, I'm a big fan these days of, I use a test light for everything. Yeah, I'm a big, so I just held it while somebody cranked it, and I got a nice friggin' lightning bolt coming out of it. I'm like, okay, it ain't spark. So then I go and grab a can of diagnostic fluid, formerly known as carburetor cleaner, and I gave it about a 10-second blast into the throttle body. Car ran for about 10 seconds. Okay, it's fuel. Now, I'm just thinking to myself, okay, so I have a choice of either checking fuel pressure or injector pulse. Now, the injectors are easy to get out on this car.
The fuel pressure tester wasn't.
The fuel pressure tester was someplace where I am sure there was a life form that was just waiting to get a piece of human flesh. So I was like, no, I ain't going there if I don't have to. So I grabbed the I grabbed the test light. I stick it in. I pull the connector off the injector. Have my power there. All right. Find which one by looking at the wiring diagram. Which one is the ground trigger?
Information is key.
Yes, absolutely. And then I have somebody crank it. Now I have the test light hooked up to positive because remember the ECM grounds the injector.
Right.
And I get this little dim flicker.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nah. Usually on a fairly on startup that flicker is usually it's your friend flicker. It's bright. But no. I was like, oh, okay, I've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the cool part about being an old Chevy tech. I was like, grab Mr. Fluky. And we disconnect all the injectors, which are pretty much out in the open on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the specification is like 16 ohms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, like three of them were 16.
That's the resistance across the coil of the injector.
That is correct.
Okay.
And like three of them were 16. Yeah, one of them that was like two, another one that was like four. And basically what that does, because the older Chevys, they were bank fired. Mm-hmm. In other words, one side... Yeah, you fight all four at one time, and the other side fight all four. So you get one bad apple, and the entire thing just shuts down.
Right.
So at that point, we just to prove my point, I just unplugged the two bad guys, the two real bad guys. Car ran, obviously, with a misfire. I says, you need injectors.
Yep.
3 months the car's been there.
Oh, geez.
3 months.
Wow.
You know, you could see the stack of stuff on the side there. This has to go back now. Well, this has to go back.
Luckily, there's an IROC owner who'll be cruising this week with his car, so that's nice.
Yeah.
And what are the injectors cost for that car at this point in time?
I didn't price them out, but now, you can get like OE replacements that probably... damn close to 100 a piece.
Wow.
And you can get remands or refurbished, for considerably less. I mean, like maybe in like the $30 to $40 range.
You can go to our buddy Frank Jewell at South Bay Fuel Injectors.
South Bay Injectors, yeah.
On Merrick Road in Oceanside. Yeah, and he rebuilds them. I had him rebuild the ones on my Mazda. Chris had him rebuild the injectors on his...
He did a nice job on them things, yeah.
It was on his... what was he driving at the time? Was it a Bronco, or was it a... Yeah.
I think it was the Bronco.
Yeah, maybe he had the Bronco done. Yeah, so they can actually... what he does is he'll put them on the test bench and put fluid through them, and you can see the fluid
machine
path.
There, yeah.
You can see the fluid flow, and he can check, of course, the coils, the electrical side of it, too.
Right, there's a number of tests that you can run, and that machine is like the... it's the benchmark. It's the standard of that, you know?
Then after he takes them apart and rebuilds them, he puts them back on the machine and looks at that flow again, so you can see before and after.
Sure.
And, to have a service like that available is fantastic. You can actually mail them to him. I wonder how that works, though, because I know I just mailed out those boosters, and they gave me the third degree about, is there anything in here that's flammable, explodable,
besides your personality?
Yeah, besides me, yeah. And I'm like, no, they're just brake boosters. So, like, you know, when you got a box full of fuel injectors, what do you say? No.
Well, they shouldn't be. Well, you should have cleaned the stupid things out,
Well, yeah, how do you, I guess, how do you do that? How do you flush it?
Well, maybe they have gas sniffing dogs. I don't know.
So anyway, whatever. But I know he does take them through the mail because he gets business from all over the place.
Yeah, because pretty much, unless an injector shorts out, which is basically any injector from like GM injector from like the 80s and the early 90s, injectors pretty much clog up.
Right.
That's pretty much all that goes wrong with them. So if you get somebody who could ultrasonically clean them, you know what I mean? And like change the little basket and all that kind of stuff. They're good forever. I mean, also if you engage in good injector hygiene, you know what I mean, and keep them clean.
Yes.
Yeah. Then I mean, I've
Is
got
that a thing?
It's a thing. Yeah, I've got cars with 160, almost 200,000 miles on two different cars, and knocking wood, they're still the same injectors.
Yeah. No, you can. And, you
brush your injectors after every meal.
Brush your injectors. Use good gas, and you could use a good fuel additive. Like, we like to use Startron, our good friend.
Great stuff.
Yes, Dan of Florida sends us the cool stuff. So we use our...
it looks just like Romulan ale, too.
You say it looks like the stuff that the Combs were in a barbershop. You wouldn't know about that, Joe. But...
I remember such places.
You remember those places? Yeah, they used to go in and give you candy when you were done. You get a lollipop.
Yeah,
so that's it. We're wrapping up. We're going to get out of here. I am not going to be in next week. The Swizz will be here, so it's going to be a piece of history. Joe is going to just be laughing the whole show.
Yeah. I'm going to have to ride hard on this. So
we may take a poll and see who they want better, me or Chris. We'll bring them back. That's it. I'll go on vacation more often.
You're my boy. You ain't going no place.
Oh, I ain't leaving you. Don't worry. But so that's it for Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. Stay tuned for Kim and Thunder Road. I know you do because our friends are her friends. And we'll be back. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Joe will be back next week.
Bye.
See ya.